Welcome to The Gray Matters, where we discuss more than just the hot topics and headlines of the day from a Black man's perspective. We appreciate that we are not all a monolith, and every subject deserves to be explored with nuance, giving a view from all sides of the culture. So we're here to hopefully bring that to you every week with a little bit of nuance, class, and some fun. Our panel consists of three guys that are absolutely nothing alike, and you'll soon come to find out just how much we love each other in spite of our sometimes very big differences. I'm Billy Craig, joining you from a very schizophrenic Delaware, where it's been hot, cold, stormy, a little bit of everything. And today I'm joined by my posse, the usual suspects. Chuck D is joining us out from Nashville, and we have Professor Griff out in Portland. Wow. Say hello, gentlemen. Let's fight the power on this one. Come on with it.
Wow. I was waiting on Flavor Flav.
I know you were. See, I threw you a curveball. I knew you was waiting on that.
He got me.
Because you know how ignorant you can get. But, hey, it's my turn.
No. Fun fact. Because I lived in Salt Lake City, Flavor Flav's, like, cousin or something was, like, the AD of, like, West High School, which is like the biggest high school in Salt Lake City. Fun fact.
Wow.
And he used to be in town all the time. Real talk.
Yeah, there was a documentary I was working on about 10 years ago before I moved here when they were doing a tour called The Lords of Hip Hop. So it was Public Enemy, LL, Slick Rick, you know, it was a bunch of them. And one of my friends, good friend of mine, Davey DMX, he DJs and did a lot of early recording. So he was on tour with them when they came to Cincinnati. I spent like, after the concert, we was driving around. I spent like till 4 a.m. just picking knowledge, just taking game, man. Flav actually, he kind of gets that, you know, bad rap. Flav is not an ignorant man.
No, not at all. He's not what you see on TV.
He is definitely doing his part.
He's an entire human being who's very conscious of his place in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He still does stick out in Salt Lake City, though.
Oh, yeah. On multiple layers.
Well, you know what? Not so much. Like I said, his family was like the AD of like the biggest school, the biggest high school. Let's say his to put it in perspective for all of us and people who most of our viewers are like from Cincinnati or whatever. It's like his cousin was the AD of Walnut Hills.
I was getting ready to say, yeah, like Walnut or something like that.
I'm just saying Flavor Flav as the character stands out.
He's talking Flavor Flav with the clock in Salt Lake. He's going to stick out.
One of these don't belong. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, I'm saying Mr. Drayton was very subdued whenever he was in the Valley.
And a pretty good piano player from what I hear as well.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get to it.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we got an interesting one today. And first off, did y'all have a good Father's Day?
Oh, loved it. Loved it.
What about you? Your old tight lips?
I mean, no, it was good. Listen, we'll have to pick up on this in the near future, but it was good. I mean, it was great. I love being a dad, and so I love my kids are wonderful. So I don't know what it is to have a bad Father's Day, but it was a little more intense this year just with the type of year I've been having.
Right.
I valued it more. Let's just put it that way. So it was a little more sentimental. I will remember this Father's Day more than most. Let's just put it that way.
Got it. Okay. Well,
I got a Stetson, bro.
This man, listen. We heard you for the, like, eighth time.
I've been trying to let it go.
I'm grown. Call me Cedric the Cam Newton.
This topic.
That's where I'm at with the hats now. I'm Cedric the Cam Newton with it.
Out here looking like Mary J. Blige. Go ahead.
Right.
Hey, I'm laid flat. Check me out.
The reason I brought up this topic is based on, or at least asked that question, is based on the topic for today. Now, based on our pre-production meeting, I would at least like to say, just in case this goes south, it's been real working with y'all. we had a good run. But we'll just get that out the way before we start. It's been an interesting pre-production for this topic. So I'll jump right into it, which is based on an article that was published where a man and a woman, two grown adults, were friends, weren't having very much success, at least I'm assuming based on the article, finding a mate to mate with. So they decided to co-parent together.
As R. Kelly said, go half on a baby.
Went half on a baby. And did it through in vitro, IVF, in vitro fertilization, and started off the relationship with their child as divorcees. You might as well call it that. They live in two separate houses. They don't live together. Now they skipped the trauma of the normal divorce of putting your kids through that. But that's where we kind of kick off. And they said this is a growing trend. So I'm curious on both fronts, the church believe front, as well as the non-traditional thinking front here that Paul is going to bring. I'm somewhere in the middle. As the moderator, that kind of tends to fall that way. But let's go. He already ready, so I'm going
to
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm more closer to you, Dre. Like, I want to hear, let's go ahead. I want Billy to go ahead and, you know, this is baseball, right? 100-mile-an-hour smoke coming down the pipe. I want him to dig his back foot in and defend.
Oh, yeah,
about to come out of his face.
Okay. This is prime Aroldis Chapman. Like, this is the Reds ain't got enough money. He gone. Okay. Yankees are on the phone, right, with the agent, and we just borrowing this man for the next couple months. So here's my thing. I find it troubling. I was talking to a really good friend of mine, my neighbor growing up, Trey. And we were talking about how very often I know how you got there. Like, I understand how you got there, but the math is wrong, if that makes sense.
No.
Okay. I know why people choose to believe that that is a viable scenario. But numbers don't lie. The statistics don't lie. And we can have a conversation about causation versus correlation, whether the outcomes that we see in homes and family scenarios where there isn't the two parent actually working on it, the relationship, the nuclear family kind of thing. We can talk about causation versus correlation, but the fact of the matter is the numbers do not lie. I'm going to give you just a few of them. Just to give you an example. Now, and this is going to sound crazy because I'm literally trying to make a larger point. 70% of inmates in state juvenile detention centers serving long sentences were raised in single parent, primarily single mother households. Now, you might think that's got to be correlation. 72% of juvenile murders, 60% of rapists, came from single mother homes. And these are like statistics that they track, even if you go back like, you know, 40, 50 years, like, you know, each year it might be slightly different, but they said that children who commit suicide or attempt suicide, they are three times more likely to come from single parent homes. Now, again, the correlation versus causation argument is obviously something that you can debate. What I find troubling about it is, and the reason why I'm 10 toes down on that being some bull, is the fact that what, and this is just me personally, this is where I'm going to kind of come out of my own little bag here. I just feel like people are lazy and don't want to do the work. And when I say do the work, I don't mean do the work like finding, and this is something we can get into probably in another episode.
I think judgmental on top of
absolutely,
that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, this is coming from
on
a whole
premonition.
This is that.
Oh,
yeah.
Sprinkle that on.
Not only do the numbers bear it out, but I'll say this, and I'm going to speak very personally here. I can think of at least, just being totally honest, I can think of at least four, maybe even five or six moments in my marriage, and I've been married for what, close to 16 years now, I can think of at least four or five, maybe six different times where not only could I have walked away from my marriage and therefore walked away from my home as it is, but I would have actually been defended. I would have had grounds, as you might say. Like it would have been something where it would have been legitimized based on the societal standards that we have. And I'll take it a little bit of a left turn here. There are times when, like I think about when I played football, when I ran track, when I played baseball, I remember walking on in college. I remember literally when I was playing baseball, doing independent league, you know, driving around the countryside, you know, like not being paid playing baseball. One of the things is, and I don't want to just give it this generalization where it's like people just aren't tough enough. I just think that people value the wrong things. And so at the end of the day, I think about some of the challenges that we kind of led off. And I was telling you how Father's Day was different for me this time because some of the challenges that I was facing, frankly, most of it surrounded my kids, specifically my son. And there are literally things that I could not see without having a second set of eyes, meaning his mother, on a day-to-day regular basis being there. And the same is true in the reverse. There are things that my wife, frankly, is not in her wheelhouse, it's not a strength of hers. And we had a long conversation this past Wednesday and even into Thursday where she had a very revealing, eye-opening thing that it helped her to see that, man, there's a lot going on that she missed that's been going on in our children's lives. And she's there every day. We're not talking about she flew out on a trip and she, you know, every 3 weeks she has to fly into Seattle because that's where a corporation is. No, we are at home full time, all the time, every day. Nobody misses a day. Parents, and there are still gaps that we miss. And so when I say we, I think sometimes miss values, people value, in my opinion, I think people value their pleasure. They value their comfort. They value things that fit them more than things that work. There's that saying, don't make perfect the enemy of the good. There are lots of people who could be in really good situations when it comes to their own mental health, their own physical health, their own family health, psychologically. There are lots of things that you would benefit from. But all it takes is, I don't like the way my wife is acting, or I don't like the way that they talk to me, or I don't appreciate the fact she's too much like her mama, or fill in the blank, whatever it is. And so you destroy the thing that's most important, which is the family, in exchange for what is more comfortable or what fits you at the time. One of the best pieces of advice, and I'm not about to go all like, you know, Dr. James Dobson and focus on the family here on you, but I remember years ago before I got married, there was an elder at my church in Nashville. I know he's not watching this, but shout out to Woody Rowe anyway. And it was funny because one of the things he told me, he said, there are things that you value and that are important to you at 20 that will mean absolutely nothing by the time you're 30. And there are things that are not even in your thought process in your 20s and early 30s that will actually mean something to you, significantly mean something to you for the rest of your natural life. But too often people, when they get married in their childbearing years, they value things that long-term do not serve them well. And so that's really the perspective where I'm coming from, is that doing the work, in my opinion, means not only finding a spouse or partner or significant other that you can build with, but people just don't seem to have the vision to build with the understanding, like, I know that we're going to have children, or I know that we're going to have bumps in the road, or I know that we're going to have disagreements. I know there's going to be health problems. I know we're going to have financial difficulties, and yet we're going to stick it out. People quit too easily, in my opinion. And so I feel like, even though I understand how people get to that point where they say, hey, it's probably, you know, statistically, you know, more than 50% of the people, I think it's up to like 55% of all marriages end in divorce. While that may be true, I see how the math is like, well, hey, if I got a 50-50 shot and more likely to not be with my child's other parent than I am to stick with them, that's all fine and good, except what does it say to the child? Like, you're not even going to try to create the more stable environment. You're not even going to try for better. You know, nobody goes out and says, my goal is to get some run on JV. Nobody, right? Nobody says, I'm going to go to college and just, yeah, I'll take a few classes, but I have no anticipation of matriculating. Nobody says, I want to go to the league and my goal is to sit the bench. No one goes into a job and says, you know what? I'm really just here to get whatever salary they give me. Everyone wants to level up until you get to relationships where you have to make some sacrifices. And I just feel like people kind of punk out and they're not willing to do the work. And the work meaning, I got to make some sacrifices. I got to see the big picture and the long game in this. And the long game is, these numbers don't lie. You need two parents. Frankly, I wish you could have a scenario where you need to expand and have five and six parents, because especially the way kids are now, you need as much support as you can. It is hard.
So which is it? Do you believe you need two parents, or do you believe you need so you just hate one parent?
I feel like one parent is not enough, and I feel like the statistics show that one parent is not enough.
Stop. Okay, I just wanted to answer to that question. Okay, mm-hmm. Now, villages raise children. Do we, true or no?
Okay.
I agree. Usually the mom, right, has the baby. She don't raise that baby alone. She mm-hmm. says she's a single mom, but grandma's involved, uncle's involved, grandpa's involved. You get my drift?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, neighbors, teachers, whoever. Sis, yeah. Coach, whatever. Right. Yeah, right.
Okay. So what are we doing? What are we talking about? What are you arguing here? Because in most sense, multiple people help raise a child, whether the parents are married or not. That's okay. Number one, right? Number two, where are we going?
So here's my response to that.
Is this about Christian values? Where's your point going?
That's why I said I'm not going like moral majority, you know, focus on the family type stuff. Here's what I'm saying. I was reading an article a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about how representation matters. The start of Pride Month, you got all this backlash because people have really fought to make it what you would call normalized, that you have gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transgender, all the alphabet, whatever, however they label them. They have really pushed to get representation. So you see it on the commercials, you see it in television shows, Hollywood, you name it, right? And while there are people for it and against it, the same thing is true when you have, you know, all the black girl magic, because what? All these black women are saying we are underrepresented in these different places and these different spaces. The point I'm getting at is representation does matter. Now, you can argue how much representation is enough, or we should push for more or whatever. Representation does matter. So if you're walking into an actual family unit telling me that the representation of the father doesn't matter, I'm immediately saying that's a bogus argument. You're literally telling me that the male figure who is required for the purpose of procreation, whether you actually have sex or whether you have in vitro fertilization or whatever it is.
Okay.
You're literally telling me.
You are patriarchy to the death. That's all.
No, it has nothing to do with. No. See, don't do that. Don't label me like that. I'm not talking about patriarchy.
You're the one talking about the male figure. I didn't say it. You said it.
How else can you get an egg to be fertilized without a zygote?
Okay, my brother. We talking about family structure. We not talking about how people are made. You taking it to another. See,
so I'm how do you get family? Where do families come from, Paul?
Families come from whatever you make it. It comes from whoever loves you and who you love back. Real talk.
I can go get me some mud and some seeds from a plant and mix it together and fertilize, and that's gonna make a family.
Yes.
No, that's gonna make a tree. That's gonna make a plant.
See that when you talk to people like me who don't really mess with their family like that,
yeah,
that's what I'm trying to explain to you. Family comes from the people who you meet and then you grow and then you grow with and people, then you love. It's not always let me finish, brother. It's not always the people that you're related to.
It's we're not having the same conversation.
People like yourself and Andre who become family. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's what I'm talking about. So family ain't just like mom and dad. Family can be anything, brother.
I'm talking male and female. And what I'm saying is there's an
okay,
actual...
Okay, now we're getting down to it.
Patriarchy. So procreation...
You said there's a male and a female.
Yeah, patriarchy is not male and female. I'm saying man and woman, because I don't care what you classify yourself as.
Why are you?
It requires
okay, brother. Why are you getting defensive by the word?
I'm not defensive.
Patriarchy. I'm not using it as a weaponized word. I'm using it as an observatory word to understand where you're coming from. Does that make sense?
If I told you, because here's the thing, court systems all over this country have literally made it possible to supplement and do everything they can to keep black men in particular out of the family. Like, that literally was the plan to destroy the black
community and family. What does that have to do with what we talking about?
Is that not what the woman said? I'm going to go into the situation with just ruling out the necessity of having the father in the home.
So let me jump in,
Trey, because you've been quiet the whole time. I've been talking over. Yeah,
no, it's good because I wanted to steal a phrase from Stephen A. It was a good soliloquy by Rev. But one thing that we're missing in the article itself wasn't that the father is absent. Like, you're focusing this on where the father lays his head.
I'm talking about, that's exactly what I'm saying.
But
where he lays his head matters.
Well, I mean, but Papa was a rolling stone. Like, it. So I don't think that necessarily, to me, makes a difference as long as the father is active. You're saying that 70% of the people that are incarcerated are in jail because the father put his head somewhere else.
I literally said, I'm not saying the causation versus correlation
you
argument.
Said single parent households, though.
That's no, I didn't say that. That is that's what the national statistics say. It ain't my numbers.
Right. But spit them out.
Yes. And what I'm saying is
in defense of your premise.
I'm saying it's not on me to defend those numbers. Or to object to those numbers.
You use them to set up how you believe.
No.
That's what and Dre are saying now.
I'm saying this woman, whoever she is, the one that we're reading in the article. No, the woman in this article Is this woman, was it not a woman we were talking about in this article?
No, we talking about you right now, bro.
To answer your question, talking about a man and a woman who made a decision together.
Okay.
So it's not just a woman. Both decided life is hard. I ain't been able to find my person. I think I'd make a great father. You think you make a great mother. Let's try
this together.
Now he lived 15 minutes. The father lives 15 minutes away. You mean tell me if the father lived next door that he still wouldn't be effective? Like, he has to sleep in that house in order for him to be effective?
Okay. I'm saying that proximity does matter, yes.
Why?
Proximity in what way? Proximity. Is it proximity or is it access, brother?
Access to what? Kids aren't like ATMs. It ain't like we need to
withdraw. No, if the kid has access to the non-custodial parent, be that the mother or the father, whenever they want, and the father's 10, 5 minutes away, 15 minutes away, does that not count?
I'm not saying it doesn't count, but we're talking about degrees and differences of like percentages. Here's what I'm saying. The one thing that my kids cannot do with me and my wife, unless we were to allow it, the one thing my kids cannot do is they cannot pull the wool over on my mom, on their mom, and try to get to me and vice versa. Because there is no daddy's doing this when I go to his house, but it's different over here. And then they're playing it back and forth. There is no manipulation in that way. We are on the same page. We're working together. And there is no, and I'm not saying you can't communicate.
People who co-parent cannot be on the same page?
I'm not saying that people who can't co-parent. I'm saying that the myth that co-parenting can possibly be equal to or superior to both parents being custodial parents is I think it's a false argument.
I think it's a false argument that both parents need to be in the house in order to make a good human.
Here's what I'm telling you. I'm not saying I disagree with you, like full stop.
Your whole thing, though.
Because, explain the numbers to me then. Explain the numbers to me.
The numbers?
Yeah.
What you mean the numbers?
Thought we wasn't using the numbers.
No, I'm asking a question. Do the numbers
that both people need to live in the house to make a good human?
I'm saying that the numbers support that. Yes.
I'm saying that the numbers don't support that.
Then what do the numbers say?
Well,
the numbers say that correlation. The numbers say that most people are born on accident and aren't planned and are raised by a community. Most people aren't married.
And so that's one of the things on the statistics that you read out, which I'm 70%, jail single parents. That's because.
Simply saying that it's not just, that's why I said I'm just giving a few of them for effect, but the same thing.
But you also, have to look at how they got the statistics though. Like, just they consider you a single parent if you're not married. It doesn't matter if the dude lives in the house or not. The dude can live in the house and they still consider you a single mom because you never filled out the certificate. So I'm saying those numbers don't necessarily, they aren't hard fast to how we get to where we're at.
Here's what I'm saying to that, Andre. What I'm saying is I don't have a dog in the fight. What I'm saying is,
but I the think idea you do.
That, wait a minute, wait a
You're
minute.
You're a preacher.
What I'm
so
saying
you
is,
do have a dog in the fight.
No,
you
absolutely.
Do have a dog in the fight. You
no, I don't have a dog in the fight.
Homes.
I have a wife. I don't care what everybody else is doing.
Care. You're
no,
a preacher.
I don't.
So you don't. So you're a preacher.
Do
you don't care what everybody doing.
It is not my business.
It's
really not. It's really not my business. And I can't speak for every other preacher out there who has a ministry and what they're doing. I'm saying for me, I don't care. If you're single, I don't care if you're trans, I don't care who you are. I'm going to love you and support you and do whatever else I can do to help you see God clearly and get your faith. Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the idea, and this is where people think of this as a religious conversation. I don't. I'm saying outside of your faith and your spiritual awakening and your belief system and everything, the idea of a nuclear family that is about marriage. And keep in mind, when I say marriage, I'm talking about two parents. I'm not getting into the, well, does it count if it's a gay couple? Does it count? I'm simply saying where there are married people, the outcomes far exceed ones that are not. I'm not even talking about, like you said, if they're together and they've been together forever, but they just didn't get married. Technically,
how long has marriage been an institution?
That's what I was just getting ready to say. Marriage as an institution, meaning you went down to the courthouse and filed some paperwork, that isn't a very American, very 300 years old type thing, 300-400 years. That is not something, when you laid down with a woman and procreated with her, y'all was married back in the mind.
Millions of years of just horrible human beings.
Absolutely. And the outcomes show that. That's all I'm saying.
And it's because they weren't married. That's why they were
because they weren't married.
It's because they weren't committed. It's because they weren't committed.
Committed
to raising that nuclear family and supporting that nuclear family.
Man, they had the Crusades. They had all kind of things to be committed to.
What does that have to do with it? That's like saying, because I'm a politician.
You said they wasn't committed, brother.
I'm saying if a man and a woman are not committed to raising that family together, the outcomes show that the family suffers, the children suffer.
But when they are committed to, so let's just say, all right, we committed to be a family.
Yes.
Just like this couple has committed to be a family. They just didn't go to the courthouse. Like,
yeah.
How can you commit?
Wait, he ain't dipped out.
You just told me he lived 15 minutes away.
Right.
He does.
He's active. Like, how is it that
you know 15 minutes away is? That's Forest Park to North College Hill.
Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying to choose to start at this level when this level is an option, that, in my opinion, is selling yourself short.
Okay, but this level, as you stated, is a gamble. Like, it's not an option. You're throwing dice in the table.
There's no guarantees anywhere. Right. It's not 100% foolproof.
Right. So you find fault in two people. I'm with Dre here. You find fault in two people willfully entering into an agreement to have a child and raise it
together.
No, what I'm saying is not that co-parenting doesn't work. I'm saying, do you want me to believe that of all the people who have children, you just told me all the countless people, because there's more people having children that aren't married legally by, like, went to the courthouse and got a piece of paper than there are that have. You're telling me that all of them have approached it with this level of thought and commitment? You just told me it was all an accident.
No, I'm telling you that when people do approach it with this level of strategy and thinking and thought and planning, you should embrace it.
I didn't say I didn't embrace it. I said they chose an inferior product. I'm saying it's like you chose an inferior product. You have a better option out there, and you're just not willing to do the work on it.
You find more fault in two people who are just friends and never had sex and willfully engage and say, you know what? We're going to make a human being and we're going to take care of this human being, even though we're not romantically involved.
No,
I didn't. Hold on, let me finish.
Okay.
Over two people who hate each other that live together and make a human being on accident.
False choice. That's what I'm saying. That's a false choice. How? There's literally there are countless thousands of variables in between. You can be in love with your wife, go through a phase where you're not in love.
Not with life.
Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is very
simple. We've been listening for an hour, brother.
Okay. Then how are you getting this confused?
I'm not asking you questions.
I'm saying I'm saying, here, let me, I'm going to put one sentence.
We're not moving the goalposts. We're on the field.
I'm going to give you one sentence.
You know how Arizona has
don't put that. No. Don't put that on me.
Slide the field underneath.
Okay, you talk.
That's what you're doing right now.
No, you talk, because you're putting words in my mouth. That's not what I said. Here's what I'm saying. I'm going to make it real simple, cut and dry, real easy.
All right, go ahead. I'm ready.
Marriage, we're ready. Marriage with a nuclear family. With a couple that live together, raising children together, is superior than co-parenting where the parents do not live in a home with the child. That's all I'm saying. That's a superior. I didn't say it was gonna, the outcomes are guaranteed. I'm saying it is superior than having two parents that don't live in the same household raising the kids full time. That's what I'm saying.
What you're saying is, hold on.
So I just said what I'm saying.
Hold on. Let me sum this up. Your groundbreaking thing.
It's not groundbreaking.
Is that two people who are married and love each other and have children.
I didn't say nothing about love.
Those children have a better shot at being happy than other children.
That's not what I said. I said one is a superior product to the other. If we talk about it in business and products and going to, there is a superior product.
Oh, so you're saying children that come from a two-parent home are better than other children?
I said, no. I said the outcomes, you have
I gave you an out.
Better. I don't need an out. I'm not asking for an out. I said what I said. I said that the outcomes, the numbers support that the outcomes are very easy to understand. Parents who are committed to raising their children in the same home and they value the family in that way that they will actually do that together under the same roof, the outcomes say that their children turn out better than ones who are either single parents and the other two parents aren't involved or there's a co-parenting arrangement. The numbers show that those who are actually in the home together raising those kids have better outcomes. That's all I'm saying.
Do you not understand that if two people agree that the child should be raised in mama's house or daddy's house are still doing the same thing?
No, they're not.
How?
What do you mean how? Like, I don't understand that. Like, this is not hard. I sleep with three other people in my house every day. I know who those three other people are. It's not confusing. This isn't hard. I gave you a whole long drawn out thing.
And I'm trying to explain to you that there are a lot of people. Most people don't come from those circumstances.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. And most people aren't bad people.
I can't go with you on that. Because I don't do good and bad.
What do you do then?
Healthy and unhealthy. Because health is something that's a metric that you can measure better than
health is relative. Outside of physiology, health is relative.
Mental health.
Is relative.
Emotional health, financial health,
literacy, relative.
Those are things
it's
that can
all
be
relative.
I'm saying that the things that you can measure, literacy, financial health, emotional relative. Health, those types of things. What do you mean relative? If I got $100 and you got $10, I got more money than you. That's not relative.
Well, it's relative. If I have $100 in LA and I got $100 in East St. Louis, it's not the same thing, brother.
Okay. I agree. Help me understand how you're not getting the fact that what I'm saying is marriage is LA and co-parenting or raising a child in a single parent home, that's not quite LA. Well, I don't know. Pick a city. What do you call it?
But if...
Because you can understand the differences when it comes to cities. You just gave me East St. Louis and L.A. I'm saying if you can understand the difference between the quality of life and the amount of money and how far it will go in L.A. versus being in
and it's all
a
relative.
City.
It is relative. Great. But also at the same time, 45%, since we've already agreed, 45% of marriages end in divorce.
Yeah.
So so of those 45%, that's where the shitty human beings come from?
Why are you putting that on me?
No, I'm not saying we're using your stats, bro.
Why can't say, okay? So you're telling me that nothing. So you're saying basically your argument is this is not causation.
No, your argument.
At all. No, I started this whole thing about when you asked me to start. I said we can talk about whether it's causation or correlation, but the stats don't lie. It's not even like it's close.
But you can, but you know this based on the previous president we had. You can make stats do whatever you want them to do.
No, no, no. Mm-hmm. But I'm not manipulating stats. I'm telling you that it is not a matter of me manipulating. I don't have a dog in this fight. What I'm saying is, absolutely, I'm sure. Positively.
You a whole preacher out here in these streets. Absolutely. Man. You, of course you have a dog in this fight.
But I don't need, I don't need
of course you don't want to hear about people just deciding to have babies and not getting married.
No, that's your opinion. That's what you're saying. You've never heard that.
You're the Christian preacher, not
there
me.
There is no
according
one,
to your job description, that is against it.
And I'm saying don't tell me my job description. I don't buy it,
brother.
I don't believe it.
Brother, your job description is Googleable.
No, it is not. I'm saying I've got 350, 400 sermons online right now. You can listen to all of them, and you ain't never heard me say nothing like that. My job.
It ain't about what you're saying.
I'm saying, then what is it? My job and my vocation and what my purpose is to help
people see God
clearly.
Your job is to get butts
clearly.
In them seats every Sunday, right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So your job ain't to get butts in the seats?
No, and I don't even know how we got here. I'm telling you what my job is. I'm telling you what my job is. Whether you show up to my church on a Sunday, whether you listen to me preach, whether you buy into that, whether you just somebody out here on the street that comes and just say you want some help, I'm going to do the work of Christ. And my job is to get you this, whether you grew up in a single parent home, your mama was divorced 3 times, I don't care if your daddy beat you, whatever it was, my job is not to make a judgment on who you are, whether you're a 5% person or a 10% person or a high quality male or a high quality. None of that matters to me. I'm only saying that when you go into family planning, when you actually go into a situation, you should want the best outcome in the situation. And the numbers clearly indicate that in order to get the best possible outcome, everything's a crapshoot. Everything is a gamble. There is nothing.
Because I disagree because two-parent homes is a new idea in relative to humanity. It's a new idea.
What is the alternative, Paul?
What you mean, what is the alternative?
Yeah. What is the alternative?
The alternative is what it is.
Yeah, let me reframe the question. There's polygamy, for example.
I'm not even talking about polygamy.
I'm just talking about freaky stuff. No, see, that's the problem. Polygamy was not about being freaky. Polygamy was about social structure and being able to have stable families. So
I gotta break it down like that because you the reverend. You know what I'm saying?
But that's just it. What I'm saying is, if polygamy is an option, then maybe we can talk about another outcome and another option. But we've got literally like Democrat and Republican. We don't have no viable third party in this scenario.
Most of our colleagues were raised in quote unquote polygamous environments because they mama or daddy was smashing somebody in the neighborhood.
That's not polygamy.
What is it?
Polygamy is an actual defined committed contract relationship. Polygamy wasn't just you was out there. Polygamy means if I got 3 wives, I'm responsible for supporting all 3 wives.
Polygamy make it sound better.
Okay, you can be cynical all you want. What I'm saying is we have two definitions and terms that we're working with in the context of what this woman was saying about whether or not I'm actually going to have a parent. Together, we are committed. We're working in the same home doing this.
Right,
and
which is what they were doing.
No, she said, you just told me the man, he said, 15 minutes away? That's not the same as living in the home.
So I guess this is where it still boils down to, though. So we'd rather, because you're just stating, I know you don't intend to, but you're making it real black and white here. Yeah, so you're stating that their arrangement, where they're going in, eyes wide open, hey, me mm-hmm. and you are going to raise a child together. Mm-hmm. We love each other in that mm-hmm. fashion, not romantically. Mm-hmm. We think enough of each other that way. You mm-hmm. think that is less than
damaging
than me?
I didn't say anything about damaging.
Miss Fat Booty get together. We have a child. Mm-hmm. We decide, okay, fine, we're going to get married. That child has a better success rate even though me and Miss Fat Booty arguing, and we at it every night, and we end up getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. But I was laying my head at that pillow at while Junior was getting to age 10.
Are you and Miss Fat Booty committed to raising this family together in that home?
No.
Then what are we talking about? That's what I started with.
Nobody goes into a marriage thinking that this is going to fall apart. Though.
You do. No. What do you mean nobody does? This woman, you're literally citing an article of a woman who walked into it and said, we just going to skip the marriage and
that's
the
not
divorce.
Even falling apart, though. They've made a decision.
But that's your advice.
I'm
your advice is to go down to your advice.
That
is
not
go
my advice. Why are you telling me
Mrs.
what I said?
Because that's
not what
premise.
I said.
For the last however many minutes, premise you've taken. It's better to go get married to Mrs. Fat Booty
and
hate this broad and raise that kid under the same roof than it is to go artificially inseminate some lady and then make a human together and say,
can I speak for myself?
Christmas and Thanksgivings and have them at your house and my house and y'all do that together. One is better than the other is what we're asking.
Okay, again, false choices, because that was not what I was saying. What I'm simply saying is just this right here. It is better for me to find a woman who I can be in a committed, loving relationship with than to just say, you know what? I want to have a kid and I'm going to settle for not being in the same home with that child's other parent.
So
do the work. Marriage is hard. It is difficult.
So basically, you should never choose the wrong person.
No, you should fight with that person and try to make it work as best you can. No. We know the divorce rates. Like I said, 55% of all marriages.
So the person you pick, you should fight with? What are you telling me, bro?
I just said what I said. You can do the word salad and try to play on word. I said what
I said. I'm asking you. I'm not trying to do word salad.
Okay,
I'm literally asking you.
I said, how about this? Do the work.
What work?
Work with that person.
Everybody is not going to find
go
the woman
into
that they're going to die or the man that they're going to die next
go,
to.
Go
so
into,
when that doesn't happen, when y'all figure out y'all don't want to die next to each other,
okay.
You still got this person. You still got this person you need to make a human, a whole adult. Right?
Okay.
So what should you do at that point?
Plan B. I don't know. Plan B. Work. Do the best you can.
So you don't have no work for that.
No, I'm saying that's a different set of work. That is a totally different set of work.
What's the work then?
I'm saying go into the situation with the best possible outcome and scenario.
Man.
And if you know that the best scenario is going,
I'm
the best
voting for
outcome,
you for president. When are you announcing that you're running for president?
I'm running for president in 2032. So I will launch my campaign.
You got my
in
vote, bro,
because
you ain't
all
answering
I'm saying
none
it,
of my questions.
All I don't know how to make it any more simple than there is, based on the numbers, based on all the outcome, based on all the projections. There is a superior
between you,
choice.
Tim Tebow and Charlie Ward, boy,
choose
I wouldn't ask none of y'all nothing. Dak Prescott is on that list too.
Hey, all I'm saying is if you want the best possible outcome, then find the best possible outcome.
Right. Really?
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Hold on.
You tell Brian Griffin, wish it, want it, do it, brother. That's what we doing.
Just because you don't believe that you don't believe the numbers. Don't be mad at me. I didn't make these people get divorced. I didn't make
we
these people
it
raise
it. Doing it now.
But
yeah.
You're saying
hey,
best, going into
it
with
yeah,
the
I'm
best case
it.
Scenario. Best case, best possible outcome.
The
these
best possible
have
outcome.
Right. So these people have determined this is their best possible outcome. And
that's fine. Then, okay, good for them. Amen, good for them. I applaud them. If that's what you believe. But you ask me, do I believe that's the best possible outcome? And I say no. That's all. It's an opinion. If that's the best they can do, that's fine. I'm saying if you're willing to do the work, there's a better outcome. We all did the same thing. We chose college. What did you choose? You chose between the place that was going to give you more playing time. You chose between the place that you was going to get on the field or get on the track or whatever, or the court, or you chose what was going to be best for my major. People do this all the time. This is not hard to understand. I'm saying if there's a better outcome over here and you choose something different, then do the best at what you did.
What we're saying is human beings get made and then you have to adjust your whole perspective, brother.
I'm saying this woman, I almost said something different. I'm saying she literally is this woman in this article. She is literally going into the scenario choosing a subpar product when she still has the option of choosing
The subpar? What is the subpar product though? Is it the child?
It is. I am going to go into situation statistically showing that I have a lower success rate, a likelihood of success.
Is the going into this product? Than, is it the relationship or the child?
The children.
Or the parental.
That is the outcome. Is that a word? That is the outcome. We're talking about, I'm talking about children and outcomes. Why would you go into a
So the child would be a subpar product.
Would you rather have a 20% chance of success or a 45% chance of success? Yes or no? Simple stuff. We all did math and business and statistics. Would you rather have 45% chance of success or 20% chance? Just answer that for me.
What is
determining? I just want an answer. I just want an answer on the numbers.
What is determining these numbers of this child's chances of success?
I just read them off to you. Education.
Where are you
jail,
getting this data from? That this child only has a 45%.
So you're questioning.
So this child has a 55% chance of being.
I'll answer that. Yes, I'm questioning the damn data.
Okay, great. So if you question the data, again, I go back to my...
I was asking questions, literally questioning it.
So right? Then I go, so then here's the deal. So then we can go back to correlation or causation, okay? Or we can even deal with the data. I'm not arguing. I told you up front. I don't care nothing
We've
about all this stuff about me being
data
a preacher.
Out the great. Window, bro.
So then I'll let y'all finish it up then, because I said what I said. If the numbers are to be believed, if the numbers are not lying, if we're not just making
stuff up. I got a fun fact for you, okay?
Because I say representation matters in the home. That's all I'm
saying. My little Get the Honeys crew back in high school, right? It was about five of us, right? It was me, the homeboy Steve. It was the homeboy B Trav, the homeboy Chris, and the homeboy Jerry. It was five of us, right? Only two of us came from two parent homes. And the two of us, I'm sorry. Only two of us didn't come from two parent. I should say that right. Two of us came from single mama homes. The two of us that came from single mama homes are actually doing a little better than the rest of the.
What is better though? But how do you quantify better? Because I thought we couldn't do that because it's relative.
I guess we're doing healthy. Are y'all healthy?
Remember, healthy is relative. Yeah. It's relative when I bring it up. But go ahead. You doing better. Go ahead.
I mean, what you want? How you want to quantify it? I don't want to brag about it. Quantify it if you want.
I wasn't quantifying it at all.
We can talk about bank accounts. Yeah. We can talk about health. Yeah. We can talk about mobility and access. Okay. We can do. I'm just saying, it's not. There's nothing. I say that to say there's nothing automatic, brother.
Absolutely. Do the work. You didn't just get it.
No,
do the work.
No.
Like, you're supporting my argument whether you want to.
No, I'm not. No, you're supporting my argument at the end of the day. Is you talking about a superior product.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that the superior product was not, in fact, the superior product when it came to the actual game of life.
And this is the game, speaking of politics, that politicians play
and
all the time.
And I don't even say that to,
they
like,
will put,
shit
no, no,
on
no,
people,
no, no,
man.
No, no,
and
no,
I,
no.
And I hate that I did that just now.
Listen, I know your heart. I'm not, that for anybody to question that, that is not, let me just say this. I know what Paul is saying. He's not trying to pick out nobody and, you know, try to make himself superior. Here's what I'm saying, though. That, speaking of politics, that's exactly what politicians do. They question the statistics, make the numbers say something different, and then they'll pull an example. Tim Scott, I'm gonna name drop. Tim Scott right now makes my skin itch because that's y'all all he does. Alike. No, don't do that. No, I mean, you wrong. Y'all do look alike. No, ain't no way. Here's the point. Tim Scott, what's the one thing he keeps saying is that the stereotypes and the myth and these arguments about the statistics that would support and show that there's a need for affirmative action or there's a need for there to be laws in place to protect the rights of Black people in this country. He uses his success or different examples of people in his family that he knows who are Black, who come from poverty, who come from disenfranchised.
Wait a minute.
No, I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm saying the example that you gave, and that is my point. This woman that you're saying in this article,
he's a whole outlier as well.
The fact that she and this man, her friend, from what I read in the article, it's been a little while, but from what I read in the article, they're close. Like, they are the outliers is what I'm saying. Nobody plans. You just said most pregnancies are an accident, even in the marriages.
No, 99% of human beings got here by accident.
Okay. And my
they was point, humping and it felt good. And then
okay, and they ain't know how to
a baby happened.
All right. My
that's,
point
that's 99.9% that's kind of how everybody designed, existed. You shouldn't how it went down, bro.
This is the part where you gotta earmuffs the children. The fact is, ain't nobody trying to stop once you get started. That's how it always works. My point is only thing I'm saying is these two people who have planned this. In a co-parenting, like strategically plan this out, they are the outliers. I'm not saying they won't be successful. I actually am inclined to believe that they will be successful because they have clearly put their mind to it and committed to it. I'm saying to believe that the other rest of this nation, we'll just use this country. I ain't getting into what's happening in Brazil and Philippines. The fact that you believe that they are actually what most people end up doing. That's just wrong-headed on its face. We know that's not what's happening. People ain't planning that.
My point is, I don't necessarily know if this monotheistic type of way of life is what's going to happen going forward. And what I mean by monotheistic, I mean by the one God, meaning the two parent, you know, the one person for you, that whole type of ball game. I believe that people will come and go as they go. You know what I'm saying? And some people will have two parent homes. Some people will have like three moms and four dads. Like, I don't know what it is, but I don't believe that that's going to lessen their value.
I believe that good human beings
are still going to come from those situations. That's all I'm saying, brother.
I believe you 100%. I do not believe that your value as a human being.
You said you're the one who said a lesser product.
I said going into a situation, choosing. Literally, you're making a choice. This woman is making a conscious choice that she's not even going to start her family with an attempt at it being a two-parent home. I'm saying...
But it is a two-parent home.
It is a two-parent home.
It's not a two-parent home if he's not in the home.
Yeah, it is.
It's called co-parenting.
No. See, this is... You know what? It's one of those things when single... When these women who are single because they not with the daddy say they are single mamas even though daddy pick him up three times a week or her up three times a week. You're not a single mama. You're single, and then you're a mama.
But you're having a...
But totally you're not different. A single mama. But single mama means daddy ain't nowhere to be found, and I do everything myself.
I said single parent household. That's what I said.
Single parent household means parent does it.
No, that's not what it means. Nobody defines it that way. Yes, single parent household means in the house of record, there's only one parent there. That's what a single parent household means. I mean, I'm not even taking the bait on that.
It just means the mama ain't married. That's all it
is. It's weaponized in a way.
I'm not talking. I agree with you. That's what I'm saying.
Can we agree that it is weaponized?
Absolutely. But that's what I'm talking about is the definition of there are two parents in the actual same house. That's all I'm saying. Why would you choose to not have two parents in the house when you still have the other one that is viable? It is an option and it can be done.
If two parents are involved, there are two parents in both houses.
That's not one house. That's two houses.
Again, that's still one house.
No, it's actually by
Andre. You understand what I'm saying? We on the same page with that.
Here's what, this is why I said I have no dog in this fight, because I don't live in that situation. I don't live in that situation. Hey man, you asked me. So all this talk about co-parenting, single-parent households, the village. My APB is collectively for churches. I don't care your tradition, denomination. I don't care what your particular dispensation is. My APB is for churches that are committed to creating a village so that this conversation really doesn't matter as much when it comes to the outcomes. There are too many people. Those of you who watch this, who understand locally where I am in Delaware, I drive down the street. I live right behind my church. So I drive right down the street, and about less than a mile away is where Planned Parenthood is. And there are people who faithfully, and when I say faithfully, I know them by face. I know when I see them at the grocery store because they got a haircut or they colored their hair, dyed. These people are out here, they're committed to picketing. They're committed to holding up their signs. They're committed to trying to block the doors and creating a scene to end abortion and pray to end abortion. And my APB is for the churches willing to do the work. Yes, I'm calling people to do the work, not just in the home, but people who say they love God, who believe in that one true God, who believe that God wants these nuclear families and these marriages to last and to work. Like Paul was saying, I want to be with this woman for the rest of my life and we're going to die together. If you really want that so bad and you believe these outcomes matter so bad, why don't you actually do the work in the church of creating environments that can actually support families and support children and support marriages and actually support people instead of just being out there being angry and reactionary? Because there's an awful lot of adoption agencies out here, and there's a lot of Black kids especially. And I'm singling them out because statistically in this country, little Black boys are the least adopted and most likely to end their teen and adolescent years in foster care of all different demographics of children. So my APB...
Let me cut you off with my APB then.
Oh, now he got an APB.
Yeah, now you. Instead of going to these fertility clinics, I'm piggybacking. Instead of going to these fertility clinics,
I know you're going. Yeah.
Instead of going over to Africa and buying these babies that.
Shout out to Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, and Madonna. Why don't you adopt some of these babies in Chicago and Arkansas and Houston and L.A. and whatever that need parents? My bad. Now you can go back.
No. Actually, and I'll say this because, no, that literally is the perfect segue. That literally can't be overstated. And I'll say that I'll take this opportunity to shout out a friend of mine from childhood. We were in school together, elementary school. Her name was Leslie Fielding. It's Leslie Fielding Russell. And I remember this vividly. This has probably been about 10 years ago, 11 years ago. Her and her husband, for whatever the reason was, and I didn't get into the details with her, we chatted it up, but they caught a lot of heat. Now, Leslie is white. Her husband is white. They adopted two Black girls. And people really, unfortunately, because where we grew up, we had a lot of, she obviously had a lot of Black friends because, that was the nature of our school to make up. She caught a lot of heat from different people criticizing. And I'm not just picking on her, but I really want to shout her and her husband out because, a lot of people felt like, why would you go adopt Black babies? And the answer is because them the ones that aren't being picked. Going back to that patriarchy thing, those are ones not getting chose. And so she had enough love and compassion and was willing to do the work and understand that if I'm going to raise these two girls, I need to raise them in such a way that I, first of all, understand that there's things as a white woman that I will never be able to relate to. I'll never be able to understand. I'll never be able to truly teach them. And I have to have enough security in myself, my husband and I. We have to be willing to let them grow and go their own way. But at the same time, should be willing.
Check out that movie Farming with Damsel.
I've heard. I haven't seen it yet. But you understand my point is that
I do. I lived in
she
Salt
literally,
Lake. I
yeah.
See little black babies that used to see me walking down the street and they'd be like shocked.
Yeah.
Didn't know what to do and their parents was white.
The thing
you
is,
know what I'm saying? Like,
and that, all I'm saying is, thing. And so yeah. All I'm saying is, if you're going to come for the white people adopting these black babies when nobody else is willing to adopt these black babies because you just want, like you said, you want to go out here and create a family, hey, why don't you go get one? Why don't you go find mm-hmm. one? Why don't you go take one who obviously needs a home? And mm-hmm. I have a real heart and a compassion for that because one of the first things my wife and I did, and this was not because she was infertile or I was infertile, but before we even got married, we took adoption classes. We actually went through the process when we were in Atlanta.
We're talking all this flower shit. Dre ain't said shit, though.
Well, you know, he don't believe in us. Dre is
talking
like,
all this fly stuff. Dre yeah. ain't said nothing.
Fuck Dre, the kids. No, just wait.
But you, but that's the thing. That's right. My AP.
But he didn't really did it though.
Yeah, that's exactly
my point.
Right. Yeah, the people who are doing the work are not the people who have a problem with either side of this because you're secure.
Right.
You know what you're doing,
right?
You can agree to disagree or whatever. But the fact is, there's nobody who knows me that doesn't know how many. There have been countless people, countless children I've taken into my home. Like, that's my point is go do the work. Be about the work, whether it's adoption, whether it's if you call yourself a church,
your
go out and do the work. You know, go out and find actual ways that instead of just being angry and being political. And, yeah, I support a 6-week abortion ban, but you're not going to help nobody. You're not even going to buy them some bread. So the fact is, go do the work and be about that life. Because all this conversation and back and forth has been great. But at the end of the day, that's what really fires me up is people who talk a good game, but not willing to do the work. So that's my APB. All right, that's a wrap. Hey, you say shout out to Pat Roberts.
Shout out to Pat Roberts.
You know what? You're wrong for that.
R.I.P.
Oh my goodness, you know what? All right.
You pointed clearly, the wrong way, Paul. He down this way.
Yeah,
he's exactly. Down that way.
Right. I was like, wait a minute. Two of them joined. Anyway, so well, that's a wrap for us today. Thank you for joining us here on The Gray Matters. We want to say thank you for tuning in, being a great audience, and we thank you so much for your support. Please take time to follow us on all of our platforms. Be sure to leave comments for us. If you have questions, a topic you would like for us to address, feel free to give that to us. Send us a message, give us a shout out. Be sure to tell your friends to log in. And we look forward to bringing you even more amazing content and opinions and a little bit of fun. So we'll see you next time. Thank you for tuning in.
Peace. We made it. I didn't think we was gonna make it. We made it.
Woo!
Take care,
So a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar.
I am my ancestors back from the grave. No longer a slave, beat to the gods, kneel, pray, survive in my day. A threat to society, cause Malcolm showed me the way. I'm young, black, intelligent.
Oh, now they afraid.
It's too late, I am the king, I am the spark to the brain. I am the light that fought the dark and now you're seeing the rain. I am the thing they spent their whole life killing. To find out, I am the rose that grew from under their building. This ain't for life, this is a fight so you can open your mind. Peel the scab back, reveal the blood and see what we'll find. Like LeBron, I am just one of a kind. No longer will I accept the blind, leading the blind. Keep it a buck, say what I want, not giving a screaming after World Light Park until the day my heart stops. And when I do, remember when I take my last breath, just remind the tape and witness all the knowledge I left the grave. So I said, a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walking to a bar.
the gray matters.